Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. Go there. Bookmark that for your audio video needs. That's where our program exists. That's where it resides. HagmanReportLive.com. Also, HagmanReport.com for important articles. Links to important articles themselves, contributors articles, and HagmanStore.com for some doggone great coffee. That's right, HagmanStore.com for some great coffee. I got a great show lined up for you today. It's audio only. Why? Because we can. No, actually, we have some audio or video problems with Dr. Proctor, who's going to be coming up, and some other issues. Plus, I'm in my pajamas. It doesn't matter. No, it's audio only. So, but listen carefully. One thing real quick here I wanted to mention. There's a fantastic article at Zero Hedge. It's authored by Mike Whitney. It's Is BLM the Mask Behind Which the Oligarchs Operate? That's the title. Is Black Lives Matter the Mask Behind Which the Oligarchs Operate? Now, I was speaking with Randy Taylor today, and we believe, based on the evidence that would appear based on at least the anecdotal evidence, if not direct evidence that we don't have really any direct evidence, but at least anecdotal evidence that at the periphery, at the epicenter of BLM exists Obama, exists Soros, exists Clinton, every deep state individual you can think of, including Barack Hussein Obama, well, they are at the epicenter of BLM. But in the article by Mike Whitney, he posits a quiz at the beginning of the article. He writes, here's your BLM pop quiz for the day. What do critical race theory, by the way, you're going to be hearing a lot about that, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and Homeland Security's white supremacist warning tell us about what's going on in America today? And if you haven't seen the Homeland Security white supremacist warning, you're going to want to make sure you do see that. That's right. White supremacy. That is, we are white supremacists, and that is actually, sadly, of course, DHS has named us the most dangerous threat to America today. But I would urge everyone, and I think perhaps I do have the link up there from earlier today to this article. I know Zero Hedge, it's a little bit difficult with all the ads that pop up, the videos and such, but here's the bottom line. They give you four options, or he gives you four options in terms of the quiz. You know, what does critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and Homeland Security's white supremacist warning tell us about what's going on in America today? Well, the correct answer is they indicate that powerful agents operating from within the state are inciting racial violence to crush the emerging populist majority that elected Trump to office in 2016, and which now represents an existential threat to the globalist plan to transform America into a tyrannical third world crap hole. Okay? They used a different word, but that's essentially what the correct answer is. And we are not experiencing a sudden and explosive outbreak of racial violence and mayhem. We are experiencing a thoroughly planned insurgency type operation that involves logistical components, including vast nationwide riots, looting, and arson, as well as the extremely impressive ideological campaign, critical race theory, the 1619 Project, Homeland Security's white supremacist, hang on, I gotta move this page here, warning are as much a part of the oligarch war on America, as are the burning of our cities and toppling of our statues. Now, all three fall under the headline or the heading of ideology, and all three are being used to shape public attitudes on matters related to our collective identity as Americans. So what do we do about this? Oh, one more thing. The plan is to overwhelm the population with a deluge of disinformation about their history, about their founders, and the threats they face, so they will submissively accept a new order imposed by technocrats and their political lackeys. This, by the way, is a psychological war. And it far exceeds in importance than Operation Black Lives Matter. That's just a muscle for implementing the transformative reset that elites want to impose on the United States. All right, so what do we do? What do we do? Here's what we do. We fight back. That's my belief. We fight back, and we fight back with everything that we have. Period. Because, well, what are our options? What other options do we have? You see, the real challenge is to change the heart and minds of a population that is unwaveringly patriotic and violently resistant to any subversive element that threatens to do harm to their country. So while we can expect this propaganda saturation campaign to continue for the foreseeable future, not ending on election day, but for the foreseeable future, we don't expect this strategy will ultimately succeed. At the end of the day, America will still be America, unbroken, unapologetic. And that's it, period. By the way, September 4th, the Department of Homeland Security, which, by the way, I'm not even sure is constitutional, we're going to ask Dr. Proctor that, issued a draft report stating that white supremacists present the gravest terror threat to the United States. And, of course, that was featured on Politico. Seriously. Really? We threaten white supremacy is the greatest threat, the gravest terror threat to the U.S.? With me to make some sense out of all this and to talk about, among other things, now listen carefully, I spoke to Dr. Proctor earlier, the Second Amendment, as well as, gee whiz, what could happen on election day? And if you haven't seen this already, today, trending on Twitter, Trump's army. Join it. Poll watchers is what it really is, but on Twitter they're making it sound like a bunch of white supremacists with AR-15s standing at the polls making you vote for Trump. That's what the left is saying, which is a bunch of hooey. But let's not forget what the left did. Black Panthers, remember that? All right. With me is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. ProvisInstitute.com. If you haven't done so already, get your copy of Saving the Constitution. You're going to need it. That, Bathroom Economics, and the Liberty series as well. Dr. Proctor, by the way, Dr. Proctor suffered a storm that went through his area, knocking out his communications, and that's really why we're doing the audio only today. So how are you, sir?
Very good. Very good. I'm glad to be here. It was a nip and tuck for 2 days. I'm glad to be here.
Ah, man. So what the heck? I mean, a storm just rolled.
Hurricane force winds, 75, 80, and 100 mile an hour winds came through here. Trees down everywhere. The power was out for several hours, completely gone. Then it came back. Now we have power, but no computer access. That's been down for over 24 hours.
Wow.
I mean, this is really something.
You
can imagine the cleanup of trees. Imagine the cleanup of trees. I didn't lose a tree, but my neighbors on both sides did. Mm. Oh, yeah, one guy lost four trees in his yard. The other lost one. Oh, yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, the weather is something else. I'm looking at, in my area, leaves turning, you know, for fall a lot earlier than they usually do. So I don't know. Weather is really crazy. So, well, sir, let's start anywhere you so choose. And I know that you're operating from a disadvantage, and we understand that. So we'll be easy on you. But wherever you want to start, let's start. You go ahead.
You were just talking about in a few moments ago about these report. I didn't pick up what you were reading from, but you were reading from a document that was outlining the goal of the, I call them the banking, international banking establishment, that group of people. You were outlining their goal. And you said, as I recall, that in the process here, we shouldn't expect this to go away at the election. We shouldn't expect it to go away at all. It's been developing since 1776. That's how long it's been developing. And it's slowly but surely taken over our country. And it has done it slowly. Hegelistic doctrine is do it a little bit at a time and just keep worming your way in. A guy by the name of Edward Mendel House, wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator. He wrote that in like 1910, published it in 11. And Wilson had a copy, and he read it, and he followed it very precisely. But we didn't get everything done during Wilson's time frame that's outlined in the book. So Roosevelt picked up to see what he could fix, and he fixed a whole bunch more. And today, we're still fixing some more things that the Philip Drew Administrator book tells is going to happen. That's not prophetic. That's planned. Okay, that's planned. And it's planned by these people that I named in Volume 1, in the preface of my book. It's planned by those people, and I call it the International Banking Establishment. And their goal is to eliminate 95% of this population and take over the world and have everybody slave for them. That's the plan. And if we don't do something about it, it will incur. And Quigley wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope, where he outlined what the goals were. It's a big tome, about 1,300 pages.
I've got it.
Cleon Skousen wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the book? Oh, yeah, it's a huge book.
Yep, and it's a paperweight. I mean, it could be used, or not a paperweight, a doorstop. It's huge. Yeah, 1,400 pages almost. Yep.
Yeah, huge book. Oh, huge tome. Cleon Skousen wrote a synopsis, a book review of that book in his book, The Naked Capitalist, came out in the late 70s. Recommend people look at that book closely. That tells what's going on. Now, I was in the voting area during that time. I was voting, I was doing stuff, and I watched the Goldwater campaign, and I saw everything he talked about in the Goldwater campaign occurring. And Goldwater lost because of the things they did in the media. I mean, Goldwater should have won that and would have been in a different path today. But he did not, because they took over. You know, that's the way they're doing. They've been planning every election for not just since Wilson, but with gusto since Wilson, making sure nobody but the ones they want are elected. Sometimes the only two options we have are both of their people, so it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
That's what happened when Kerry and Bush were running, both of them. We're part of the organization. They didn't care which one won, and it didn't really matter, I suspect. We don't know what Kerry would have done, but, you know, that's what's done. That's how it's done. Both of them were members of Skull and Bones, real close together at Yale University. Not the same year, but very close. Oh, the whole list of everybody in Skull and Bones is in my Volume 1 appendix also. The whole list of everybody.
Yep.
So you can follow those names and know who's in charge.
Yeah, and that's the Liberty Series, which, you know, going through that a little closer, looking at the names, and then taking those same names and looking at the election history, or the history of the elections, really, throughout the 20th century, it's interesting to see some of the connections. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Okay.
Well. Yeah, and then just to continue... In Volume 2, I have the names of the Trilateral Commission. That's worldwide. That group of people are the folks that are controlling us. And it's not hidden. Bill Gates was never part of that group until he got his billions, and then he retired and moved into that group. He and Melinda did a foundation. The goal, the apparent goal of that foundation, is population destruction. Not control, destruction. Again, right. Wipe out everybody. That's the goal of the Trilateral Commission. That's the goal of the Bilderbergers. That's another part of the same thing. They show up every year. They've been showing up since about 44. The Bilderbergers, the reason they call it that is because the city they first met in was Bilderberger, the Bilderberger, something like that. And so they picked up that name and they followed. They've met every year somewhere around the world, the Western world. I've noticed any time they've done anything in the Orient. But they meet in the Western world every year, and they tell us what's going to happen, plan stuff. They plan, there's another one, too, that's going on. That's the planning organization. World Economic Forum meets in Davos, Switzerland every year, last week in January. Those people plan everything that's supposed to happen economically, worldwide. Politics, who's going to be elected worldwide, every place where there's any kind of an opportunity for them to get control, they're in there and getting control. We have not been free of that. We're a part of it. It's astounding.
The World Economic Forum, I just say this, the World Economic Forum actually had a exercise where they... this is back in September of last year, where they discussed the COVID-19, at that time a coronavirus pandemic. This is, again, September 8th, I think it was. So, you know.
I did not know that they did. That's what the World Economic Forum would do, though. They're a group of people that meet to plan and control. Yes, they are.
Let me correct myself. They had a meeting last September, and then the report, by the way, the September 8th was this year, planning for the trajectory of the COVID-19 response. So I apologize. However, prior to this year, they discussed the economic impact of a pandemic, but not necessarily, or did not identify COVID-19. So regardless, you're right. The World Economic Forum is a huge, what would you call it? A controlling factor. So, yes.
Yes, it is. It's a focal point, a hub to control the world's economics. And so what do you do when you have an opportunity of a pandemic like this? You begin to control the economics. Why? Why? One would say, here's a question to ask. Everybody should ponder this. Why did the meatpackers in California close? I mean, why does the government in California close the meatpackers in California? Why? What's the purpose there? Put more people out of work? Why? Why is this kind of thing going on everywhere? Why? Why are so many of the big companies following the mask policy and the social distancing policy and all of that? Why are those big companies doing that? They know people don't like it. They don't care. Why? You need to ask a lot of whys, everybody. Look at the world that's going on and ask, why is that occurring? The how and why questions are very much more important than the who, what, where, when, and those other ones, the W's. The how and why are the most important two questions to ask.
I agree.
The other is establish the situation. The other, the how, is how did it get established? And that's outlined in my books. And why did it get established? You're seeing it today. You don't have to read a book to see it. It's every day something's happening. The why is to control the country. The why is to get rid of a population. Oh, my. You know, word has come to me. I don't know if it's come to you or not, Doug, but word has come to me that the vaccine that they're preparing to mandatorily inject everybody includes I got to say it this way because I'm not only kind of a scientist guy. It destroys immunity and gives you AIDS and malaria. The diseases are there in the vaccine. We're going to watch everybody slowly die. The vaccine destroys your immunity system, and then they implant the vaccine, the disease of malaria and HIV. That's what the information has that I have received recently in a 9-minute video, which again, I'll send to anybody who wants it. I've got this information. I'll send it out. I don't hold it tight. It's an outstanding presentation of why. And I have another video that just came up. I'll just mention this. A video of it's called Harris. It's talking Harris ? And it's talking about her born again status. Now, it never talks about Harris. It talks about Obama and all that went on in the Obama administration and how the wool was pulled over our eyes completely. And then the implication there is, aren't we having the same thing happen with Harris too? And it is, by the way, it is. She is not even a citizen of the country, let alone eligible for Senate, House, or any federal job, period. She's not a citizen.
How did we allow this? And I ask that with sincerity. How did we allow the constitutional ineligibility factor to just, no one gives, it seems like no one cares.
We don't care. Oh, a few people make a noise and a few people write something, media ridicules them, they go away. We don't care. Didn't Trump, back in the Obama era, offer him $1 million to produce a birth certificate that was legitimate? And he never gave one to Trump. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people remember that? I'm not sure if it was a million or what the exact nature of the bet was or the wager was. But, yeah, it was for a legitimate, authenticated certificate of live birth. Right. Yes.
Yep, that's all he asked for. Just produce one. I'll be happy. And I'll give you, as I remember, the number was $1 million. I will give you $1 million if you'll just produce that for me.
I tell you what, if it would be me, I'd be running like I'd be walking over glass to deliver the birth certificate. Sure, yeah.
Well, the answer, of course, was to seal everything so nobody could see anything. That was the answer.
That's right, and isn't it funny? I didn't mean to overtalk you, but isn't it funny that superintendent, the individual Department of Health woman, Loretta Fuddy, from Hawaii, the very person who oversaw the security and aspects of the certificate of live birth, those records, was the only casualty in a soft plane landing on the water just off the coast of Hawaii. You know, and I look, it's just a coincidence. I mean, it's a mystery. We have a mystery on our hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we sure do. Yes, we sure do. Yeah, well, there's a lot of those mysteries. How did Bret Hart, I believe that's how you say his name.
Breitbart.
He published a newspaper, yeah. He published a newspaper and or a newsletter that was, pointing out lots and lots of things. Well, one night he was out walking in his yard and mysteriously had a heart attack and died in the street. I'll be darned. I wonder how these things happen.
And he had met, by the way, Bill Ayers, I think, a couple of days before. But, yeah, he was actually drinking in a bar, and I wouldn't put it past somebody to give him a Mickey. He walks out and drops dead from supposedly a heart attack. But, by the way, I'll just say this, the forensic factors don't indicate that, but you're exactly right.
That's how it happens. People committing suicide with gunshot wounds to the back of their head. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that are going on. I believe, personally, that the Clinton family, now this is just my personal feelings, I'm not saying anybody else should feel this way. I just feel this way. The Clinton family have well over 200 murders to their credit as they've walked through the halls of politics.
I agree.
Just my own thoughts.
I'm right there with you. And you trace, and I don't want to dominate or over-talk you, but you trace Bill Clinton back to Mena, Arkansas, and then you look at Mena, what happened at Mena. You look at all of the situations, all of the involvement there with the drugs and the money and the, I mean, this goes back, this is so deep, but yet you talk about this and people, well, they'll tune you out. Oh, it's a bunch of hooey conspiracy nonsense. No, it's not. You know, people are not reading and studying and researching what they need to do. A lot of people aren't, our audience excluded, of course. But anyway, yeah, so you're right.
Concept. You just brought up a concept, conspiracy theorists. You know, that word only came along because the media penned it to cause it to happen, to cause everybody to ridicule anyone who had any idea or thought about anything contrary to the media agenda.
Correct. And that was, to be 100% accurate, that was introduced to the media by the Central Intelligence Agency as a result of, I mean, consequence or subsequent to the Kennedy assassination. But yeah. You're correct.
I didn't know where it came from. I just know that the media did it.
Yes, yes.
The media did it.
And it's pretty much like the phrase fake news. I mean, if you follow the lineage of the phrase fake news, the media has amplified that, but fake news is very much like the phrase conspiracy theory. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
No, I'll just quickly mention something. I believe this is in my fourth volume. I know it's in my fourth volume. I should say believe. But I believe it's around the pages of 50 to 60, in that neighborhood. There's a discussion about a case that came before the Supreme Court. I don't remember the name. That's too bad. But it's right in that area. And it says, in essence, the media can lie all they want, just as long as it's not malicious. And how do you do anything? How do you decide about malicious or not at the moment? Nevertheless, they got permission from the Supreme Court to print anything they wanted to print, truth or not. Just let that thought sink in.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that little pause there. I had a audio blip. But yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm hoping my sound is coming through good. I hope it is.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It sounds like it's
a challenge, but I'll tell you this. I listened to records, actual vinyl records, this past weekend at a friend's house, all right? And there's a certain ambiance that's created by listening to vinyl, all right? So if your sound is, if anyone has a problem with the sound, well, consider it the added ambiance. So how's that?
Yeah. Okay, but let me ask you this question. Does it get better as I turn this around?
Okay.
Is it any better now?
Yeah, actually it is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't hear you, but you can hear me. I wonder what's most important here.
I'll tell you what, you talk, and I'd much rather have you come through clear than have people listening to me. So you go ahead and flip that phone, and when you're done talking, I'll pick it up. How's that?
The only problem I'm having is I want to listen to you to know what to say. Okay, never mind. We'll work this out. Maybe if I hold it sideways, it'll all get together. Or I don't know what to do, you guys. I'm just doing the best I can with the really poor equipment that I have available. Let's chat about the other subject that you wanted to chat about today.
Okay.
I'm going to turn it back like this and talk a little louder. The other subject you wanted to talk about was scenarios that have come about because of the election, or focusing on the election this year.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Go ahead and turn the phone the way you had it best, okay? And you just keep talking.
Oh, okay.
And when you're done talking, just stop, and then I'll pick it up. Because what you have to say is far more important than anything I have to say. So go ahead and...
Okay, I have turned it back the way it was before. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Go for it.
Okay, now, you had some suggestions, some scenarios, I think, several of them that are being planned or thought about or considered for the election or after the election. Am I correct? Or did you not have those?
Anything that has to do with the election, with a constitutional crisis on or after election day, whether it's from an electoral college issue or whatever, because I believe, and then I'm going to turn it back to you, I believe that the left wants to create a constitutional crisis and create a question in the mind of the American public that Donald Trump did not win the election and has to be forced out of office. To you, go ahead.
Okay, now I think, now this is my thoughts here. Some of this is my thoughts. Some of this is constitutional, precisely, okay? I think that Trump is going to win handily when the election is held in November. I mean, I don't believe that there will be any doubt that Trump wins the election in November, but I don't believe that Biden will concede. I don't believe anybody will concede anything at all. And the reason is because they will claim that there hasn't been enough time to count all the mail-in ballots. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of, maybe it's in the millions, actually, maybe it's tens of millions of people that have applied for mail-in ballots. Now, the Constitution doesn't say a thing about absentee or mail-in ballots, either one, nor does any amendment. We've done absentee ballots, and it's worked out okay for a long time. All of a sudden now, people are wanting to send in mail-in ballots. That's to make it easier so you can vote often, regular and often. Oh, no, I didn't say that. But anyway, that's what I think it's about. Now, I believe that the mail-in ballots will be held non-counted as long as they can. If they get to the 20th day of January, and they still can't say that the president has been elected because there are still mail-in ballots not counted. Now, that will be 2 months later. They will say, in accordance with Section 3, Amendment of the 10th Amendment, the Congress will now choose the president. It says it right here. I'm going to read from the 20th Amendment. It's towards the last third. Starts with, let's see, if the president-elect shall have, no, let's not start there, let's start a little bit later. Then the vice president-elect shall have, I'm having trouble picking this lines up, failed to qualify. If the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall have qualified. There's a comma there. New situation. And the Congress may, by law, provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect shall have qualified, comma, declaring who shall then act as president, or the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected, and such, and such person shall act accordingly until a president or a vice president shall have qualified. Now that right there is 100% constitutional language. It's there. It's in the amendment. It is not an amendment we can throw out because it doesn't have any condition in the Constitution itself. So the amendment is valid. What does that amendment say? That amendment very bluntly says that if the party of the Democrat, the Communist Democratic Party, can prevent the elections based on mail-in ballots or anything else, to the point where we cannot legitimately swear in President Trump on the 20th of January, they will choose who will be president. They, the Congress. And they can do that until they decide that that person doesn't act as the president anymore, but is the president. They can choose that just because they have made sure that the election wasn't final. Now, listen to those words. Now, when was that ratified? That was ratified in 1933. 20th Amendment ratified January the 23rd, 1933. What does that mean? That means that the same people, again, now I'm just hypothesizing based on patterns. Okay, you know I like patterns. Everybody should know that. I like patterns. The pattern began in 1913 when the international banking establishment decided that we were going to have a tax. We were going to have senators would not be elected, appointed by the House, but would be elected by the people, and that we would have a Federal Reserve banking establishment, which is contrary to Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5. Anyway, so they decided that. Then along came 29, and they decided that they would hold the number of representatives in Congress at 435, rather than allow it to continue to grow. It was just passed. That's what we're going to do from now on, and that's what we've done from then on. Come 33, now here comes the 20th Amendment. Now these people are doing things like the Philip Drew book. They write out a pattern. They put in plans. These are the plans we want to do. These people do plans. I believe, my own thought, based on the pattern, that Section 3 of Article of the 20th Amendment was placed in place so that the day might come that they could prevent the president from taking office and they could control who will be president no matter what the vote is. Guys, that's what I think has happened.
Wow. Doctor, for the purpose of, and by the way, you're coming in loud and clear, and I love it. So pretend, and I mean this sincerely, pretend I'm not here and continue, because I think you're 100% accurate. I believe that this is what the left has in store for us on Election Day, and I really want people to understand where this is headed. And by the way, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'll turn it back to you, I'm going to tell you, I don't think our patriotic Americans, the silent majority, I don't think we're going to take it. And it's going to spark something that I don't think we want to go there. But, okay, back to you, sir.
Let's put some more things in. Let's put some more things in this pattern that are going around and are quietly. No, I don't know if they're even quietly. Many states, all the blue states, in fact, let me rephrase that so the red and blue doesn't get mixed up. All of the Democratic states, communist, democratic, socialist states, well, even the people in there will be forced to secede if Trump is elected. Okay, now that's another part of the pattern. If they prevent him from being elected, then those states will champion whatever the rhinos and the Democratic Party won. Rhinos mean Republican in name only. That means people that are there that are not Republican, they just got elected that way because they claim to be, so we would vote for them. Oh, and by the way, that's what's wrong with this two-party system. That's not the only thing, but it's a major thing. Since when do we vote for people by their party? We should vote for people by what they do, but they lie a lot. So we don't know what they're going to do when they take office, no matter what they said they were going to do. There's no honor in politicians, none at all. So I believe that when Trump is elected, if they finally decide that he did win the election, then they're going to take over and secede from this country and break it apart that way. If they do get him elected, they will further that cause 100% so nobody can say anything different. I believe that could lead to down-and-out battle in the streets, worse than we're having now. How do I say this? A lot of people are moving. If your people that are moving are people that are constitutionally minded and they are moving to someplace, get yourself in a location that has other people that are constitutionally minded, which means you don't stop in New York, you don't stop in California, you don't stop in Colorado, you don't stop in Oregon, you don't stop in Washington, okay? And you know the rest if you want to just go through the list. Don't stop in one of those states, because there may actually be a second civil war that will involve those socialist communist people against true patriots. And you want to be in a place that has true patriots. Folks, we're in a real problem. This has been developing for this last 4 years. They do not want Trump in there because he will not do what they want him to do. I know he does some things that I wish he wouldn't do, but he is a president that's trying to save this country, and I applaud him for everything that he does. And those things that he doesn't do that I think he should have, probably he got advice that I wouldn't have given him. Okay? You see how I put that? So that I'm not trying to say that he's not doing exactly what I think, but guys, I've been studying this as all of you have. This is a serious time. This is not a time to sit back and wonder what shall we do. We've got people in California standing up in front. It's La Shasta County. Is there a county that California? It's down south. They're standing up in the county commissioner meeting saying, you guys better stop this lockdown or we have guns and we're going to stop it. That's kind of what he said. They're tired of starving and not having a job. Now, I think there's people all over this country that are in that same position. Speak out. Stop your government from doing these things. We're having a big item here in Utah this Saturday, protesting the Governor Herbert's actions. They're doing the same thing. They're trying to do the same thing in Hawaii. I don't know if it's been successful or not. Other states should be doing the same thing. We've got to stop this government from locking us down, stop these masks, stop the social distancing. The CDC has admitted that it's all screwed up, and we don't have any idea what the deaths are, but it's not more than 6%. 94% is not COVID-related. They'll put COVID on the death certificate, but that's not the reason for death. At the same time, don't believe any of these statistics about the number of cases that are being put upon us, that the cases are rising. We better get better control. Oh, we got to stop this, so we got to have more control. You're incarcerated in your homes for the duration. Don't leave. Don't take this injection. If you're in a state where the government is patriotic, you have a more likely chance of not having to. If you're in California, they might shoot you if you don't. I don't know. I'm very, very partial against California. I'm sorry, I am. I do not understand why any patriotic people are still there. I had companies in California for 12 years. I closed those companies and got out of the state. 12 years I had companies in California, in malls in California. Sold them all and got out of the state. Haven't regretted it for a day. They were very profitable. But I haven't regretted it for the day. Folks, we have a big problem we're being faced with, and we've got to somehow do it. I talk about details of the Second Amendment. The reason I talk about those in details of the Second Amendment so much is because that's the only amendment in the entire 27 amendments, the whole list, the only one that goes right back into paragraphs in the Constitution itself to clarify them. In another way, that's what the very first line in the Second Amendment says. A well-regulated militia. That's Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15. A well-regulated militia is necessary. I changed the word being to necessary. Is necessary to the security of your free state. And if you don't have one, your state won't be free. If you don't have it in your community, you won't be free in the near term. We're dividing up the country, those who are patriots and honest people and those who are not. We really are. Folks, this is very, very serious. We should not for 1 minute step aside and think, oh, it'll take care of itself. Oh, I don't have to worry. Oh, we'll be business as usual. Oh, it'll get back to normal. Normal will never be seen again. The normal of December 2019 will never be seen again in this country. I'm sorry. We have, as citizens, allowed these people to destroy our country. Because we have gone along with the fear that's been foisted upon us. People will go back and say, yes, but what about all those things that were happening in China around Wuhan, or however you say that? What about all of that? Now, here's my thought. That was all Hollywood-type created. Nobody died in the street walking down the streets. Nobody had blood gushing from their mouth or face or eyes or whatever. None of that. That was all Hollywood type derived. It is not real. None of that was real. It's all just put to scare you to death so you'll go along. And boy, have we. In November of last year, just pick November as a month, lots of people would say, I don't believe the media. They're terrible. They don't tell you anything true. I don't believe anything they say. Lots of them. Those same people, lots of them, now say, oh, the media said this, the media said that. They don't say it that way, but they say exactly what the media told them. And I believe today, if the CDC came out and said this is all hogwash, they wouldn't believe them. Oh, by the way, that happened last week. They came out and said all the deaths are hogwash. Nobody believes them. They're still wearing their masks. They still think they got to be 6 feet. They still think all of that. But the CDC said it's hogwash. They really did, guys. They really did. 6% isn't enough to notice. Flu was more than that last year. I mean, come on. Folks, we're being lied to. We're being taken down a road to destroy this country. And that path is not going to stop. Now, the election's here, and there's all kinds of scenarios in the Democratic, Socialist, Communist area meetings. How are we going to stop it? For sure, we're going to take this country down. If we don't get what we want, we're going to throw a tantrum, just like little babies throw tantrums if they don't get treats in a grocery store that they think they should have. Exactly the same thing is going on. Are we going to be the parent that hands them the treat so they'll shut up, or are we going to be the parent that takes them outside the store and doesn't give them the treat anyway, so to teach them that tantrums don't work? So far, we're the one that's going to hand them the candy. Are we going to change, or are we going to stay? I did like to do that short of bloodshed, but we may be getting closer and closer to that day. And we can do it short of bloodshed if we would just organize our militias in our states, in our communities, in our cities, in our counties. If we would just do that and stand up, these rioters would go away into the past. But we don't do that, so they're not in the past. And they're just getting more and more powerful every day. We must stop it. And we can't stop it if we don't do something. Now, I've been down, I talked to the mayor in our city, and she said to me, well, you know, you can come to the city council meeting, but they're not going to be at least that interested. I know them. They're not interested. They don't want to have it. They don't want to have any furloughs. Just let everything go. It'll be fine. Well, I did go to the city council meeting, and I did pass out my details of the Second Amendment to every one of them, and I did talk about it before the meeting to every one of them. They were all receptive. I did stand up at the public time and talk. They were all receptive. So the mayor's receptive. They're all receptive at this moment. It appears that way to me here in Kaysville. I like it. Now, I'm going to do the best I can to get them to pass or sign a resolution that says that it's, that we will support a militia in the city of Kaysville. I'm not asking for any money. I told them that. There's no money here, and there's no money involved. It's just the umbrella of the election authority. Just that's all we need. And we don't really need that, I said, because we can go to the Declaration of Independence and just do it from that point of view. But it would be nicer if we had the backing, or the at least the encouragement from the city council and the mayor. The mayor's ready. City council's not. I don't know if they're ready or not, but I kind of stowed the seeds. And they know I'll be back because I've been to that council a lot of times. They know. I always start by saying, I'm back. Here I am. Listen up. Well, I don't say the listen up. They just do. Anyway, guys, that's what we've got to do something. This details of the Second Amendment explains more than just the Second Amendment, more than just the right to bear arms. No. Think of it. A well-regulated militia, common, necessary for the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed, period. What does the shall not be infringed refer to? Refers back to all three things: a militia, right of the people to have a free state, and the right of the people to keep it.
All right, folks, Dr. Proctor dropped there just as he was getting going. I'll tell you what, you know, he's exactly correct. And by the way, one man facing the city council, facing the mayor, in saying, this is what we need to do. And he said, yeah, they're receptive. By the way, Eric, just yell when he's back. This is all, I mean, we can all do this. The question is, do we have enough time? To what he was saying about the lockdowns, New York Post had a column earlier today. Were lockdowns a mistake? We've never before responded to a contagion by closing down whole countries. Think about 1957, 1958. The Asian flu killed between 70,000 and 116,000 Americans, between 0.04% and 0.07% of the nation's population. The same with the 68-70 Hong Kong flu. So Dr. Proctor is absolutely correct. Okay, we have him back, and he was talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I don't
Amendment.
Know what...
You might have bumped I don't know. Who knows?
I may have. I don't know how to use these things. Anyway,
continue.
I may have bumped something.
All right. Well,
I don't know where I got to.
You were talking about the Second Amendment and about... oh my goodness!
The three items of the infringement.
Yes, start there, and I'll tell you what we'll make it easy, so we don't lose you again. Hopefully, start there, and when you're done, just say back to you, and then we'll just do it that way. So, but feel free to pretend I'm not here and just take it as a presentation because you're doing. I mean, this is fascinating, fabulous, and important information. Go ahead, sir.
So anyway, so I will go back to, I may be repeating because I don't know exactly where I fell away. But anyway, the Second Amendment, there's three parts. A well-regulated militia, common, necessary to the security of your free state, common, it doesn't say your, I added it. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. Now, what's not to be infringed there? Each of those commas is a separate phrase. When you look at those commas and you look at the very last phrase, it's referring back to all three of them. Therefore, we shall not have our militia infringed upon, we shall not have our free state infringed upon, and we shall not have the right to keep and bear arms infringed upon. That's what the Second Amendment says. Okay, your turn.
All right. Doug. Yes, yes, yes. So that's what the Second Amendment says, but we have states, we have, the federal government in part, but states in a large part saying, screw your Second Amendment, and rewriting, laws that are antithetical to the Constitution. How can we possibly,
yeah.
You know, how can we fight against that? I just want to say this. You have Chicago, 51 shootings over the Labor Day weekend, 10 dead, 8-year-old girl dead, shot in an SUV, and they've got the most restrictive gun laws in the country. What in the hell are we doing, passing more gun laws or restricting guns when in fact we should be going after criminals? Back to you, sir.
Well, guys, let me just say what I think about that. I'm going to go to the Declaration of Independence. You've heard of that document, haven't you, folks? Haven't you heard of that document? 1776, that document says, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, which means the destruction of your inalienable rights, when any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. I'm going to paraphrase that. When any form of government becomes destructive to those ends, it is the responsibility of the people to at least alter it and keep your inalienable rights. If they won't do it, then you need to abolish that government. Now, that's big stuff. You can't just do that by sitting in your living room. That's big stuff. The Revolutionary War wasn't won by sitting in their living room. They got those rights because they went out and insisted. So there are two things you can do. You can either change the government where you live, or you can find a government that still honors those rights to live in. Those are the only two options. Sorry, guys. There aren't any others. Every other middle road gives in to the communist organization, the Marxist organizations that's intending to take us over. Any other road does that because that's exactly the goal. We got to disarm this country. If we can't disarm this country, we can't take them over. So we got to disarm them. That's the first step. So far, we have been adamant that we will not be disarmed. And there's a lot of people with a lot of guns. And I applaud that. We need a lot of people with a lot of guns. But if you don't, if you just sit back and allow them to take away your rights, when the Declaration of Independence, which is a founding document, and we all know its goals, when it says you must alter it, then do it. I don't know exactly how we can do it short of recall elections. I don't know how we can do it short of putting up barricades like they did in the French Revolution. I don't know how to do that if it's just short of moving. I moved to a state that honors my rights. We still have a problem, but it's not so bad.
Can I punch in here for a second? Okay. I've got a couple of questions about what you just said. Number one question is, okay, when you said about, going against or replacing the government, I should say, replacing the government, taking the government out that does not honor the Constitution, is this perhaps why some of our founders were against having a standing army that could possibly quell an insurrection of a tyrannical government?
I'm sure it is exactly that. They did not want to have a standing army. They wanted the states to have militias. That's exactly what the plan was in the Constitution. State militias, no standing army.
Okay. All right. That was my big question. And, you know, you had said some things, too. Earlier, okay, we lost him again. Oh, those familiar beep beeps. We'll get him back. But again, you know, we're looking at a situation never before in American history, or at least recent American history, have we seen. You know, folks, you know damn well that the left is preparing not to allow Trump a second term. Whatever the cost. And Dr. Proctor is addressing just that. Will there be battle in the streets? Okay. Dr. Proctor, you're back. And that's okay. We're going to keep going through this. Go ahead, sir.
Let me just say, I have no idea what's happening. I'm holding the phone precisely. I'm not touching anything with any part of my face, fingers, or anything. I'm just holding it.
Right.
And some reason or other, it's dropping.
Yeah, sometimes technology is just technology. Other times, we get a little bit, we're under attack sometimes. So whatever the reason, no worries. We'll work through it. Your words are important and, just keep going, sir. And if you drop 20 times, we're going to get you back 20 times. So by the way, Provis Institute. I just want to give your website, provisinstitute.com. Folks, get the book Saving the Constitution and the Liberty Series and the economic books. Go there, shop there. That's Doug Hagman saying that. That's not Richard Proctor. That's Doug Hagman. Go ahead, Mr. Proctor, go ahead and continue, sir.
Oh, but I will say it. I will say it again. I will say it again and again and again. You cannot do anything if you don't know the rules about it. You can't ever fix anything if you don't know it needs fixing. You cannot ever do anything if you don't know about it. Not knowing is the same as not being able to learn is no different than not doing it in the first place. A person that cannot learn is no better off than the person that won't learn, or no worse off than the person that won't learn. I hope I got those phrases right. Folks, you must know what the Constitution says. You must know, I believe you must know the background for why we're where we are. You can't, you, it, it, don't realize the seriousness, if you don't realize what's been happening, how long it's been happening. This is not just a one-time thing that just started this week or in January of this year. This has been going on for decades, centuries, actually, all the 18s and all the 19s. We are now at the culmination, at the top, of the effort to destroy our country. That's where we are. And you can't know what's happened and how it's happened. And you can't know what to do unless you have the information. And nobody's teaching it. And there are no books that have it but mine. There's a lot of books that have pieces, but putting it all together in one place, mine's the only one. And you can't find all the articles that I have anywhere in any archive. I collected them as they occurred. And they back it up. They show it. You won't even know most of the books to get. Most people have never heard of John John Robison, that wrote in 1798. Nobody's even heard about him. But he tells the story of what's going on in that day. And I have his book, his eyewitness account of what's happening. It's in these books. You don't have to go get it. It's in these books. Folks, the information's there. The articles are there. The sides that people are taking. I know what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did in our country was organized, planned, and caused by the international banking establishment. We had a depression of 10 years because the Federal Reserve wanted it. That's why we had it. We did not have it because of the crash of 29. By the way, the Federal Reserve wanted that too. But we didn't have it because of that. We didn't have it for any other reason but that the Federal Reserve and the international banking establishment wanted it. That's why we had a depression in the 30s. That's why we had a market crash in 87. That's why we had a crash in 2008. They want these things. And if you don't know they're out there, you don't understand that's what's happening. You got to know the patterns. Now, I can't write about this one in the past because it's current. But I know what the pattern says because I've watched the pattern of this government, of not this one, of the whole people's attitudes, people's, what do we call those things? The way people act. They're normal reaction. I know we all know the normal reaction to things. We all know what causes things. People are the same now as they've ever been since Adam walked out of the garden with Eve. People are people. They are the same. All you have to do is watch patterns to know what's going to happen. You know what people are going to do from the pattern that they establish. I write books about patterns. The patterns are in these books. You know these, you have these books, you can identify the patterns, even the ones that are coming. I've lost it again.
No, you know what? That probably is the, I would say that probably is the most succinct and accurate statement that I've heard. You're a pattern person. And the books, by the way, the Liberty series in particular, illustrate the patterns. You're exactly right. Very well stated.
I'm just saying what comes to my mind as I go.
Well, that's great.
I'm pleading with people to know what's happening. I'm pleading. I don't want to be the only guy standing at the end.
No.
I want everybody to be standing.
That's right. No, I agree. We need all of the patriot, all of the conservative Christians to be standing at the end. We don't need to be statistics. And if we keep acting the way we are, that's exactly what we're going to be, statistics. So you're exactly right, sir.
You know, there are a lot of people in this country that are not paying any attention to anything that's happening. We've got to have some that are. I understand this audience runs between 75,000 and 150,000, that kind of neighborhood. That's enough people, if they know, that's enough people to start things changing. But if they don't know and they don't help change, then they might as well not be listening. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Stated perfectly. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time. Go out and do a ball game or something. Folks, this is important stuff. We haven't got anything more important facing us today than the information that we need so we'll know what to do tomorrow.
Amen.
That, you know, that's it, guys. This is not like reading a fiction book. This is like reading a fact book so we'll know what the future holds.
I think, you know, one of the things that you said, I just want to punch this home again. One of the things that you said, I think, really carries the weight of this particular episode, and that's the fact, I'm gonna bring it around to what you just said here. That's the fact that the left is going to create a constitutional crisis, essentially, on election day against President Donald Trump. If you have any doubt about that, just all you have to do, folks, is grab a hold of, you know, get copies of Richard Proctor's Liberty series, and you can, as Mr. Proctor said, patterns. Look at the patterns, because that pattern is developing as we speak. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, exactly. We must. You know, the Revolutionary War was won by 3% of the population. Well, 3% of the population now is like 3 million people, not 100,000. So we don't even have that percentage. But a lot of people that are not listening are also patriots that want to have that. We maybe do have 3 million people in this country that are interested in saving it, but we must do it. Interest isn't the key. I'm interested in learning Spanish so I can talk to people. But I'm not doing anything about it, so I guess I'm not really that interested. Do you understand that correlation? That's literally my case. I'd like to know Spanish. I'd like to be able to talk to people in my neighborhood now that don't know English. I'd like to be able to talk to them. I cannot, because I'm not taking any action. Like to do it is one thing. Action is another.
Well,
if I get a book to learn, that's a help. That's an action.
There you go.
And that'd be a big action if I did that.
There you go.
And that's how to do it. Get a book. Learn. Listen.
I'd
be instructed by those who are.
Yep. That's exactly
I
right.
I don't mind to just keep going, Doug. I'll shut up for a minute.
Well, you know what? No, you don't have to shut up. I'll just say this. I'd much rather purchase a book to tell people how to speak English than for me to learn Spanish. But then that's just me. And that shows apparently my intolerance for a non-national language of English. But no, you're exactly right. I mean, people can have interests. You know, yeah, I really want to learn how to be a golfer. But hey, if you don't put the effort out, you're not going to learn how to be a golfer or drywall special or, you know, hanging drywall or whatever it might be. So yes, interest, that's one thing. Action is another. ProvisInstitute.com. That's where to go. ProvisInstitute.com. Dr. Richard Proctor on fire, actually. Actually, we're at the top of the hour. Here's what we're going to do, folks. You're listening to Dr. Richard Proctor on the Hagmann Report. It is the top of the hour. I just want to say thank you so much for your support and your trust. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to just ID. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. HagmannReportLive.com, HagmannReport.com, and HagmannStore.com. Folks, EMPShield.com/Hagmann for EMP Shield needs. That's EMPShield.com/Hagmann for EMP needs. And HagmannStore.com for Hagmann coffee, because you need your coffee. Dr. Proctor is my guest. Dr. Proctor, back to you, sir.
Okay, well, here we go again. I'd like to just talk about some other things. You know, we haven't talked about the Constitution itself here for a long time. You know, I want to talk about something that I think may be germane to the conversation today. In my volume 6, I have a chart that shows the population and the number of representatives that we've had over the last, well, since 1790. Based on the census. Well, we pretend like it's based on the census, but it is not. Anyway, here we go. We started with a constitution that was ratified that says 30,000 people per representative. there were parts of that convention that wanted 50,000. So when the 17th Amendment showed up, those parts took over, and we had 50,000 instead of 30,000 right out the gate. That 50,000 came 60, and it went back and forth between those kinds of numbers until the Civil War. The Civil War, we had a problem there because the states weren't here, the population was different, all kinds of stuff happened. But when we got back into it, we started up around the 50,000-60,000, and then it grew very quickly. Well, yeah, it grew very quickly because that's after the Civil War. By the time we got up to about 1920, we had officially 435 representatives in Congress. We did not have the right number. The right number was like 2,500, something like that. You can look at the chart. I don't have it in front of me. Anyway, but what happened, and this is very, very important, what happened is that the people that are in charge of our country, and I don't mean the federal government, wanted it changed because they needed to have power. And if they didn't change it, they couldn't keep control of the House. It was getting too big. So they changed it, and they stopped it at 435. Now, that's where it is today. That was started in 1929, 435. Now we have 435, when they still say it's based on population, because what happens today is if one state loses population, then they have a representative taken away from them and given to another state that's gaining population. But the number 435 stands. Now, that is not what the Constitution said at all. The inspired document said we need to have representative in the House, representation in the House. Every person should have the ability to talk to and influence his representative. That's why the number 30,000 was accepted. Even 50,000 would be better. But that's the number that was accepted as a way to allow you to be able to talk to your representative. Now let's think about what that really means for a second. If the state, and the state has the power to do it, and that's what I'm trying to get to, the state has the power. The 10th Amendment authorizes the state to do everything that the Constitution doesn't say unless the Constitution prohibits it. Well, the Constitution doesn't say 700,000 per person. That's where we are today. 700,000 people per representative. Actually, it's more than that. I just use that as a number. It's closer to 800,000 now. 700,000 per representative. That's why they don't pay any attention to us. Envision this. You have in your community. Now, my community's got about 40,000 people in it. Therefore, my community could have two representatives in Congress in Washington, D.C. So we would have two. So I could go talk to the guy, gal, whatever, and say, hey, look at this. I don't like this, and I want you to do something different. And somebody else could go do the same thing and say what they wanted. And everybody would have a voice, and that person would listen to the majority of the voices because that's what the majority of the people among his 30,000 want. Now, I don't disagree with that. I don't believe that I always would have the answer that's the right one, but I believe that I should have a way to speak to the guy. You cannot. They won't even talk to you today. That's what's wrong. If we were to go to our state legislators, and they could do it today, this isn't something that has to be done in the future. You could go there and you could say, House, representatives, Senate, representatives, legislative, this legislative body, we want you to nullify this concept of population misuse of the Constitution of the representation in Washington, D.C. We want to have proper representation. You have the power to nullify that and set up your own. You have it. The power's there. You can set up, in Utah's situation, 100 districts in the state of Utah of 30,000 each. Now, that wouldn't really work because it'd be more like 120 districts because different places have different populations and different layouts. But it would be put together in numbers of something less than 30,000, never more, not one person more. And these things could be adjusted as time went on. Anyway, so each one of these places, the legislative body in our state would say to each one of these places, elect a representative to go to Congress. And we would. They could also, now this is just something I would do. They could also say, those representatives must live in your district. Those representatives must only accept funds from the people in the district. No one outside the district can donate to their cause, period. So you must have your office in the district. So you must live in the district, your office must be in the district, and you cannot accept funds outside the district. The legislative body can say that. It's their right. It's their opportunity. If that occurred, then Utah, this very election, could it be done this very election? It could be, yes, it could be, but we're only so many days away, so maybe it couldn't be. But anyway, that's not the case. It could be done. And if they did it, then next January 1st, I'm talking about 21, we in Utah could have 100 representatives show up in Washington, D.C. to be seated in the Senate, in the House of Representatives. Now, you and I both know that if Idaho knew we were doing that, and Arizona knew we were doing that, and New Mexico knew and they were doing that because they could see what we were doing, they would do the same thing. And so it would go all over the states, all over the country. All of the governors, the legislatures, the governors would sign them. Everybody would send the right number to Congress. And the Congress couldn't not seat them then because they're all doing it. They would force it. Then when this problem, this constitutional problem came up on January the 20th, we'd have the power to choose the proper person anyway. You understand what I'm saying? We're giving up our rights. We're giving up everything because we don't understand what our state rights are. Didn't the Second Amendment say a well-regulated is necessary for the security of a free state, not a dominated state? A free state. Don't infringe on our free state. Isn't that what it said? So think about that for a moment. What else could it be done? Well, the IRS exists because an illegal amendment was passed called 16. It's absolutely illegal. Black's Law Dictionary, which is the dictionary of the attorneys, says very clearly that an amendment cannot alter the contract. Therefore, the 16th Amendment is completely wrong. That's the basis for the legislature to say we nullify the 16th Amendment in the state. And it's against the law for any citizen to ever fill out a 1040 or any business to fill out a 1040. Illegal. We will put you in jail if you do that. It's against the law. When the IRS comes knocking at your door, you just point to that. I can't do anything different. It's the state. And the federal government can't put the state in jail. Only you. And they can't do it if you're following the law precisely. There you have it. The next part of this thing is the Supreme Court has no rights in the laws or the Constitution of any state. So since our legislative body knows that, then they would say, you have no right to even say those to these people. Only law we're going to honor in our state of Utah, we're only going to honor, and by the way, Utah is substituted by every state in the Union, the only courts we're going to allow are going to be the state's courts. You can have a federal court here, but it can only do international items, period. It cannot do anything outside of the Constitution. And there's what the Constitution says, and it won't. You can't do anything else but what the Constitution says. And the state can do that, folks. The state has the power to nullify the laws and the rules and the amendments that are wrong. They can nullify them. Bingo, you've now gotten rid of a real problem, the IRS. The next thing you're going to nullify, or one of the things the state's going to nullify, is the senator does stuff. I listen to the senators in the state of Utah say, how can we get it back? Well, you can get it back just by nullifying that amendment, which is unconstitutional in every way. The Article 5 says that the state will never lose its representation in the Senate. Then Article 1 describes exactly how all senators will be selected. Since the amendment cannot change the contract, The contract, we go back to the contract of 1788 when it was ratified, and the state, your state, every state says, we will no longer have a popular vote for senator. We are going to appoint the senators just like we're supposed to, so that we can get the budget of this country back in line. And that's the key sentence. We're not doing it because we want to have more things. We're doing it so that we can have a budget in the United States that is lined up with the income of the United States. And we're going to do it so we're going to nullify all unconstitutional stuff from the federal government. All of it. In Volume 1, I have 1,000 unconstitutional organizations that we're paying for in our taxes every day. We got to nullify all that stuff. You really want to pay for somebody's library? You really want to pay for somebody that studied the backside of a horny toad? Do you really want to pay for that kind of stuff? It's not in accordance with the Constitution. And in Utah, and your state, because your state, you're going to put your name there. You just say, we're nullifying that. We're not going to have that. We're going to have senators that will be there that can control the spending of this federal government. And everybody would appoint their senators. They wouldn't be elected anymore. Let me explain why this is done this way. When the gentleman sitting in the Congress in Philadelphia, when those gentlemen said that we want to have representation in the state, or we won't sign this document. We're not giving up our authority to the federal government. We are not going to do it. We're going to keep our power, except for some things that we'll let them have. And we're writing those things down, and we will not let them have anything but those things that we're writing down. Nothing else. And if they try to do that, our senators, now with the states talking now, our senators are going to stop it right in the Senate. That's what the senators are for, to stop all this unconstitutional stuff from being done. It's not so that you can get stuff from them. What happened was all money bills originate in the House. That's on purpose. They don't originate in the Senate. They originate in the House. The House is the representative closest to the people. They're the people that want to originate the spending bills. Okay? Now, the people went to the senators, the representatives, and said, we don't want these. We want this and this and this and this and this and this. And these things will cost money, so we want them anyway. So the House guy said, we want to get elected. The people want that, then that's what we're going to ask for. Now, I agree with that 100%. Me, Richard, I want to make sure you understand that. I agree that's exactly what the people did, and that's exactly what the representatives should do. So they went to Congress and they put all these bills out to put all the stuff that all the people wanted in it. It got to the Senate. Now the representative of the people did what the people told them to do. Now it's going to the Senate. The Senate, we're going to do what our boss says, which is the state. The state will know because the state pays the taxes, because there are no people taxes. All taxes are either done by the importation of the goods and items, or they're done by direct taxes on the states. It's very clear in the Constitution. That's what it's done. That's how it's done. I'm talking now about Article 1, Section 1, and Article 1, Section 2. Paragraph 2, where it says, representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. And then I'm going to Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 1, which says, the taxes, imposts, and duties will be collected to finance the operation of the state. There you have it. Those are the two. There's more than those two, but those two are there. So that's how it's supposed to be done, and the senators would know that. So they would say, well, just a minute. If we pass this bill that the House just sent to us, then our representative will fire us. So we won't pass it. Bingo, there won't be all this wild spending. That's one of the things they had to get rid of before they could allow the Federal Reserve to come to power. One of the criteria, one of the legs of the stool for the Federal Reserve was a direct tax on the people. Unless we can get the taxes on the people, we can't do it. So that's why it's there. First, they put the taxes out in 16, and then they put the senators out so the senators couldn't stop it, couldn't stop the programs. So the senators went to the people. No state representation. That's why it's done that way. That's why the document was inspired that way, to keep the budget under control. So your senators are now going to go to the Senate to veto every bill that's unconstitutional, and spend every bill that's unconstitutional, but especially any bill that spends money that the state doesn't want to spend. If the state wants to spend it, I mean the state government of the state wants to spend it, then it's okay. But the government doesn't want to pay their share of a $3 trillion budget. And I don't want to pay my share of a $3 trillion budget, because it's all the...
And there it goes again, but he's exactly right. Why should we want to pay that share? Why was it set up that way? And you can trace it right back, as he said, to the early 20th century with these amendments and the international banking cartel and these cabals, and there it is. So that's exactly right. And you know, it's amazing to me to see how far away from the original intent of our founding fathers we have traveled. And I really think Dr. Proctor is correct too. You know, it's going to be a state. He said this earlier. Let me know when we have him back. Okay. Dr. Proctor, you're back. It's just one of those things we have to deal with. Not a problem. We have about 32 minutes left of the program, so we're doing good. We're doing good. Keep going, sir.
You want me to keep going on this subject that I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, because I think that, well, one of the things, let me just kind of squeeze this in here. I think one of the things that you had mentioned earlier on is the intent to balkanize the United States. I think that's part of the intent of the cabals here, you know, the Trilateral Commission and the Committee of 300 and so on, is to balkanize the United States, is to break us up a little bit. And I think you're right. And this is part of it. You know, as you said right before you get cut off, I mean, who wants to pay who wants to pay a share of a $3 trillion budget? But, and that's just part of it. So yes, go ahead and continue the way you were.
All right, let me continue. Now, one of the things that somebody out there is thinking is if we don't pay the taxes to the government at all, and it has to come to the state, and the federal government's going to come to the state for the taxes, some of the things that the federal government's not supposed to do is welfare and Medicare and Social Security. Okay. How is the state going to pay for that without raising taxes? So we haven't won anything. How's the state going to do that? Folks, I have a solution. It's in my books in Volume 6 on banking. The banking system that we have is done by the Federal Reserve, which is done by the people who want to destroy our country. Okay? Why don't we just get out of the Federal Reserve? Well, we can't, because all the banking regulations and everything that says the Federal Reserve will come with their FDIC and close your bank if you don't do it right. But the states can organize their own banking system under the authority of the 10th Amendment, because the Constitution does not say what the banking system is supposed to do. Therefore, the states have that power within the 10th Amendment. So they could say, we're going to change the banking system. And I have outlined in my books what the banking system should be. It should be a public citizens type bank. The bank, that bank means, doesn't mean that the public citizens own it. It doesn't mean that the state government owns it. It means it owns itself. Now, that's very important. It owns itself. All corporations are owned by somebody, but it is possible for a corporation to own itself. Mine does. My corporation owns itself. Now, how can you do that? A corporation owns itself by buying back all the shares. Now it owns all the shares, therefore it owns itself. That's how it's done. Easy. Okay? All private corporations that don't sell shares are essentially owned by themselves. When they start selling shares, then the other people begin to own it around the countryside. So they buy back all those shares, and now they own it themselves again. So this bank owns itself. It gets started with capital. It loans that capital out. It pays an interest rate on the deposits of 2.5% to 3%, not 0.02 or 0.01. It charges interest on loans like 6, 7%, maybe even 8, not 29, not 30, not 16. That's responds back to the people. That bank will make money. When that money, and they'll make gobs of money, guys. That those gobs of money made by that banking system will make gobs of money similar to what's being made now by the Federal Reserve money, gobs of money, but different. A public citizens bank established by the state will get those gobs of money for state operations, not Wall Street operations. So the money stays in the state. The gobs of profit stays in the state. And an honest legislature now will not spend more just because they have it. Remember, those guys are only looking at a few people, not hundreds of thousands. So now they're going to respond again. They won't spend the money. The money will go to reduce your taxes. Now, let me mention a tax that's really bad. And we're all faced with it, and it's a state tax, and it's really bad. It's called property tax. There isn't a worse tax in our community, in our country. That is the absolute worst tax we have. That needs to be abolished completely. How much does it take? Utah's property tax runs about $3 billion. Can easily be replaced by the money from the bank. Easily be replaced by the money from the bank. Then, now what about the Social Security and the welfare that I just mentioned? The bank can support that also, but it is not constitutional. It's not a part of the Constitution. People are supposed to be taking care of their own futures. I'm not supposed to be taking care of yours, and you're not supposed to be taking care of mine. I'm supposed to take care of mine. That's what free enterprise is about. Let's stop depending on everybody else to support us. I don't want to be the person that's asking 100,000 people to send me money each month because I demand it. That's not right. Nor do I want to send money to somebody else. I want to keep my money to myself, and he wants to keep his money to himself. Social Security can't do that. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. It's no different than any other Ponzi scheme that you've ever seen. No different at all. And right now, the income to the Ponzi scheme is decreasing because the people are getting more older people are staying on and fewer people are working. Now, I don't mean because of the COVID stuff. That was happening before that showed up. We were already having problems because Social Security can't support itself on the income. So they keep raising the Social Security tax. So as they raise the Social Security tax, it's the worst tax you have. It's a given 15%. You didn't know that, did you? You thought it was 7.5. It's a 15% tax. Medicare is not 1.25. It's 2.5 or 3. So we're spending somewhere close to 18%, not counting sales tax. We're sending somewhere close to 18% tax to support somebody else. That's not right. That's not a constitutional function. Therefore, the government, the state government, will phase out. And the word phase out means that we'll do it in such a way that people won't be hurt. Welfare will put the people to work so they're earning something rather than just on the dole. They're going to earn stuff. Therefore, they'll have this respect. Government will find ways. The state government will find ways to do that. Get your welfare check because you went to work this week. Good. You work for the state or you work for yourself. Have a good day. We don't care which. When you work for the state, you're building parks. You're building roads. You're building things the state wants. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a real true story, guys. I was in my master's degree for economics, University of Oklahoma. I was reading we were studying local business. We were studying state taxes, state sales, state problems, local problems. One of the cities in the state of New York, I don't remember all the details. This is clear back in the 60s. Anyway, one of the states decided that they were going to put all the welfare people to work and keep the city going, keep the city improved. So they did. They put the people in the city that were on go to work, to do things, to benefit the city. The federal government found out about it. The federal government sent a directive to the state government. You stop that city from putting those people to work, or we'll cut off all the money you get from us, state government. So the state government stopped the people, stopped the city from doing it, and all those people went back on the dole. Folks, that's how it works. The federal government dictates what you can do. And the Supreme Court backed that up in 92, I can't keep all these dates straight, backed it up with a decision in New York versus United States government. When the state of New York didn't want to do what the store low-grade radium fuel the way the state government, the federal government wanted to. We don't want to store low-grade uranium radiation. We want to store it the way we want to, not the way you want to, or we want to ship it out. The federal government says, you can't. You got to do what we tell you. Went to the Supreme Court. I've got almost the entire decision in Volume 4. Maybe even the whole decision, so you'd understand it. It says, in essence, in one sentence, if you take money from the federal government, state of Utah, then you are obligated, state of Utah, to do what the federal government tells you to do. If you don't accept money from the state of, from the government, state of Utah, then you don't have to do what the federal government tells you to do. That's a, write a synopsis of that decision. That's what it says. And what did New York do? Well, it said, I can't stop, I got to have the money from the federal government, so I guess I have to do what they're telling me to do. Now it doesn't say, it says incentive in the decision. This is incentive. It doesn't say a must, but it is. It says it's incentive. So the decision says the incentive that you have to pay money to do what the federal government tells you to do is the money the federal government sending you. The state of Utah now gets a third of its budget from the federal government. Therefore, the third of the budget will be curtailed the minute the state government says we don't want something to happen. We don't want your IRS anymore. We don't want your BLM. We don't want all these things that you're not constitutionally, legally have. Therefore, since you can't constitutionally have it, we won't let it be in the state. Bingo, the federal government says that we're going to take away a third of your budget. Now I'm going to say, how do we solve that? We solve that with the banking system I just mentioned a minute ago. That banking system will make the money to replace the money that the federal government is sending to us, and we won't accept that anymore, so that we won't have any difficulty at all cutting back the stuff that they're not supposed to be doing.
All right. I have a question. Now we just lost Dr. Proctor again. We're going to get him back. My question is this. Does any of this sound familiar? It seems to me that Donald Trump, as president, had threatened the states, certain states, with withholding federal funds, especially with respect to, I believe it was illegal immigration, these illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Do we have them back? All right. Dr. Proctor, we lost you just momentarily, but let me toss a question at you. The reversal of that, okay, the alternative to that or the reversal of that, if I remember correctly, on a couple of different occasions, didn't President Trump say to the states, you're not going to get any federal money if you, and we can fill in the blank there, for example, if you harbor illegal aliens, if you have cities that are sanctuary cities. We're going to withhold federal funds. And somehow, some way, some radical court, these black robe terrorists said, you can't do that. And so what President Trump tried to do was stopped through lawfare. Does that sound familiar? Am I right on that or no?
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. That is exactly what happened. He tried hard to stop illegal immigration, too, and they did the same thing to him then. And the whole discussion of that is in Volume 6, under activist judges versus the rule of law.
That's exactly where I read it.
The judges,
That's where I read it, folks, in the Liberty series. Go figure. Okay, go ahead.
what happened. And I did write it all down in that series. Yes, the judges says you can't stop it. But he also said, Trump also said, apart from the immigration, apart from what I just said about the 6 months, he also said that if you have sanctuary cities, we won't send money. And the courts also said you can't do that. And he should have said, tough luck, we are going to do it because you don't have that authority. But he didn't say that. He pretended like they do have that authority. Because remember, if you read Article 3 closely, the Supreme Court does not have anything but the eight powers given it in Section 2. It is very clear. The first three words of Section 1 are the judicial power. And then it goes on to talk about the hierarchy of the federal judge of the federal courts. The next thing in Section 2, it says the judicial power. And now it goes on to talk about exactly what the federal courts can do. And none of the stuff that the federal courts do today is in that list. Therefore, chuck it. It's not legal. How about that? The only president who's ever done that was Jackson when he said, I'm going to do what I want. You can't tell me what to do. You're going to do that. You enforce it. And he just threw it to the winds. Now, what he threw to the winds was the Dred Scott thing, and he shouldn't have. I'm sorry, that one he shouldn't have done. But what he did was illustrate that the power doesn't reside in the Supreme Court. A young lady by the name of Kim Davis went to jail because the Supreme Court said something against the law. She followed the law. The judge threw her in jail. Fact, that happened in Kentucky. It was over same-sex marriage. Everybody says the supreme law of the land. It is not the supreme law of the land. It is a off-the-wall decision written by or passed by nine guys. That's not the Constitution. That's not the government. But we all say it is, and so we all go ahead. If the Supreme Court jumps, we're going to say how high. If the Supreme Court says you got to wear red on Tuesdays, everybody go wear on Tuesdays because that's the Supreme Court, and they established the law of the land, and that's as ridiculous as they're doing it, as the stuff they are doing. Trump had the right to cut off the funds? Absolutely. Trump had the right to cut off the tariffs? Absolutely. Courts had nothing to say about it. The elections happen like they happen. The Supreme Court has nothing to say about it. We didn't even decide the Supreme Court election that was Kerry and Bush.
We didn't even decide
what that election was.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Gore and Bush back in 2000.
Yes, Gore and Bush. Yes, that's the one. And they said they wouldn't even do it anything with it until the Supreme Court gave it the blessing. That's ridiculous. The young lady in Florida had legally certified the vote, that's done. But everybody runs to the Supreme Court. It runs to the court. The court has no power in any of this, period.
Mm.
But we think they do. So they do. We give it to them. Yes. Yes, the government can cut us off financially if we don't do what they want us to do. The Supreme Court said we could back in 90.
That's the difference between power and authority that you speak of and you write of. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. That's the difference. They have power to do, and they have authority to do. The Supreme Court has power, but no authority. But we give them the power. We, the people, give them the power. Because we do what they say without complaint, without thought. And it goes back to the state. The state, a proper legislative body in the state, would nullify all of that garbage that the Supreme Court said, that the federal courts say. All federal courts are bound by the Constitution. All of those things that I just talked about, the funds, the immigration, the terrorists, all of that was turned around first by federal courts in federal area. Then it went to the federal district courts. Then it went to the Supreme Court. And all of them ruled wrong. They didn't have the right, period. Now, when it got to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court did have the guts to tell him he could do what he wanted within reason. They didn't have a right to say even within reason, but they did stop it, and that's all in my book. But they didn't stop the one where he couldn't take the money away from the illegals. And And the Supreme Court recently said it's legal, constitutional, for a state to close down the churches. Oh, come on, folks. You can't read through that? Come on. But we did it, nonetheless. We said, okay.
Yep.
California went right ahead and did it. It's not. Nope. Every judicial official, every government official, every legislative official, every one of them raised their hand when they took office to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, defend and support the Constitution of the United States. That's Article 6, Paragraph 3. Every one of them did it. And then they promptly went ahead and did what they wanted without care. Promptly went ahead and did what they wanted without care. Folks, that's where we are, because we allow it. We allow our state governments to do it. Because we won't put in people that are honest state people, honest state folks, honest governors, honest congressmen, honest senators, honest presidents. We won't do it. Now, if we follow the Constitution, the Electoral College will nominate all the candidates. Nobody will run for office for president. But we're back to the states. The states still have those kinds of votes. And the states still are violating your constitutional rights in the way they do stuff. And you're allowing it. Or at least most are. So you got to elect people who are constitutional minded, who know the Constitution and will follow it. You got to elect those kinds of people. So you're going to learn the Constitution and follow it. But how do you get your state to learn the Constitution and follow it? You got to be with people who think the same way. You've got to be with a political party, because today everything has to be done in a political party, even though that's not constitutional either. But we still have to do it. So we have to be in a political party that you know will vote constitutionally more. I can't say every time, because people are people. Some people will not do it, but, you know, you'll just get rid of them if they don't, because you're constitutionally minded. Who is that group? The Constitution Party, which is struggling to exist and is the only party that's trying to do anything about the Constitution. The absolute only one. It's still struggling to exist because nobody wants to be bothered with doing what they're supposed to do in the Constitution, I guess. So we're right back to the same problem I talked about before. We all sit in the corner saying, oh, if you just follow the Constitution, these things are all bad. You're not supposed to do it. We have rights. Well, get people in office that will listen to those rights. And the only people that are, I'm getting on a bandwagon, the only people that are doing that today is the Constitution Party. And nobody joins it. I don't understand this. Do we think we're going to control the world by sitting in our living rooms complaining? Come on, folks. Folks, I said some more stuff. I'm on the bandwagon. This is the fix, though. Everybody wants a fix. Well, this is the fix. We should have done this fix decades ago. We all sat in our living rooms and complained then, but didn't do any fix. If we'd done that fix, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. But we never did. We just took politicians, when they were trying to get elected, at what they said. But we didn't pay any attention to what they said to one audience, they said different to another audience, diametrically opposed to a third audience, something else to a fourth audience, and when they got elected, they did what they wanted, which was nothing what they said to any of those four audiences. And those are the people you want? And you re-elect those incumbents over and over and over again when you know they're just lying to you when they stand in front of you? And you reelect them again anyway, and then you give Congress 11% approval rating? When these guys are just doing exactly what they're going to do, you look at their patterns, you'll see what they're going to do no matter what they say. Let's look at the pattern, the kind of people they are. What parties do they belong to? If they belong to the Republican Party, they will do the pattern of what the Republican Party wants. And the Republican Party today is controlled by the international banking establishment. And so, therefore, they all do what that people say. If you just vote for people who won't do what the international banking establishment says, bingo, we'd get stuff straightened out. But we don't do those things. We're very lazy, complacent nation.
You
did
know,
I say that?
Yes, we are. If I can, here we go, about 9 minutes left, eight minutes left.
to circle back around to where we started, by the way, Constitution Party, that to me, that's the way to go. But I had spoken, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, I don't know, or earlier even today, about the coming coup in America. This is an article by Michael Anton in AmericanMind.org. Here's what I'm concerned about. The left, they're laying the groundwork for a revolution that's going to be taking place here in 60 to 90 days, right in front of our eyes. And as I mentioned, okay, the Transition Integrity Project, which is a leftist think tank, leftist funded think tank, laid out four scenarios for a bad election coming up to where we'd have a constitutional crisis. Now, the cover-up is in plain sight, but the bottom line is this, and you addressed it early, at the very outset of the program, you addressed it. The Obama people, Podestas and Hillary Clintons are all saying, hey, you know what, barring a blowout by President Trump, we're going to contest the election. I guess my question at this point is, what do we do? I mean, we don't have enough time for a constitutional, what do we do, I guess? That's, if the worst case scenario happens, which I think they want to have happen, what does the average American person do? I mean, are we on our own? Do we?
We go back to the Declaration of Independence. We organize defensive areas in our own area to protect us from all of this garbage, and we take care of our personal communities.
Okay. All right.
Any other answer.
And Saving the Constitution, too, the book, I don't want to give people I don't want to be a downer to people. Get Saving the Constitution, because that has the outline for the way that we can do things collectively to save our Constitution. Hence the name, Saving the Constitution. Go to provisinstitute.com. So you're exactly right. So I'm just going to turn over the last 5.5 minutes to you. It's all yours, brother.
You turned this over to me an hour and three quarters ago and told me it's all mine. And I've been doing what I can do. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to illustrate ideas and thoughts that are typically not thought about. I mean, let me just say this. I never saw the way I described the Second Amendment earlier until someone else taught it to me. Okay? I never saw it until someone else taught it to me. And I thought I was really knew the Constitution, and I didn't see those commas in that amendment. I don't pretend to know the whole thing, but I know it pretty well. But if someone teaches me something else, I will accept it. That is how learned people do things. They pay attention and they learn. I've written some books here to help people know 90% more than they know now, maybe 99% more than they know now. Some of the things that I propose in all of my books are, wow, monumental. One of them is let's get out of the United Nations. I spend time on that. Another one is let's not have a North American Union. I spend time on that. Those are very important things a part of destroying our country. Folks, you've got to know these things. You've got to learn them. Well, I've learned, and I've tried to write about the things that I've learned. Now, Doug gives me an opportunity, and I really appreciate this, to try to orally teach things that I have learned over the last 55, 60 years about what's going on and what to do about it. Now we're at the 11th hour, the 11th minute, the 11th second. Well, the 59th second. We're right there at the very, very end, and the bad guys are coming down on us. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? Well, I've been saying what we're going to do about it for about 3 months, 2 months anyway. Get a militia organized, and almost nobody's doing that either. We don't want to do what someone says unless someone says what we want to do. If I had said, go home and watch videos or go home and watch TV, you'll be fine, and you're doing that, and you'd be happy to do that. I didn't say that. Neither did anybody else that wants to save the country. They all said, do something, and outlined what they thought was the right thing. Well, do something. If you don't think a militia is the right thing, do what somebody else is saying. But do something. I mean, we're not doing things. As a nation, we're watching. We're putting on a mask and looking over the top of it. We're watching. Have you ever stood 6 feet apart from anybody? You know, that's the rule, 6 feet apart. Has anybody even measured what 6 feet apart means? So here's another thing you can do, if you want to. These are all action items. Get 2 yardsticks and tape them together to carry it with you. Hold those yardsticks out to make sure everybody is 6 feet apart from you. That's a 6 foot radius, not diameter, radius. It's a 12 foot diameter. Yeah. Go ahead, do it. See how well we're obeying what everybody tells us to do. Oh yeah, we're obeying, all right. What we've got to really do is stop paying attention to all this stuff. And power of the people to do that which is right, not that which the government tells us as they're leading us down the path to destroy our lives. Doug, my clock says it's 3 minutes till.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what? You've done a fantastic job having been storm battered, taken down, you know, and I want to thank you because it wasn't easy, I know, on you. I appreciate what you've done. And we'll just kind of end this right here. I do want to tell people that, folks, if you really want to know what's going on, go to provisinstitute.com. The link is in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Click on that link. Go there. Liberty Series is really the lays it all out. Saving the Constitution. Get that for yourself, your family, your brother-in-law, you know, the obstinate people. And it maps out what to do. And never before, I believe, has Dr. Proctor been more important to us and his books more important to us than at this very moment. So I would urge everyone to get his books right now. And please do that. Dr. Proctor, I just want to say thank you so very much for, taking the time, taking the trouble.
I appreciate it.
Man, you know?
Yes, I appreciate it. I've just done what I had to do to be able to participate. And by the way, I can't fill any orders today or right now, but I will fill them. This thing will be fixed here very quickly. Another, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours. Maybe it's even fixed by 2 o'clock. I don't know.
Who knows?
But I will fill the orders, so send them in. I'll get them. I'll fill them. Send them in.
That's one thing I can say about you. You make sure every order that you get is done and you do it yourself. And I really appreciate that. I really do. And I know the listeners and others do as well.
Yeah, we try to get every book out on the day it occurs, the day they order it. That's what we try. But when it comes in at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sometimes it's difficult.
The next day.
But it'll be out the next day.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's the next day. Of course, it's Sunday. If the post office closes, it won't be. When the post office is opened, it'll be out that day. No problem.
All right.
We always do that.
Well, it sounds good. I appreciate your time. And I just had this vision in my head walking around with 2 yardsticks taped together. And you're right. It is a 12-foot radius, not a 6-foot.
No, it's a 6-foot radius, 12-foot diameter.
Or 12,
it's huge.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that is correct.
Most people, the rooms in their home aren't 12 feet across wall to wall.
Most normal people, yeah, I get that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Doctor, I thank you so very much. Now, because of the satellite uplink and such, we're going to have to pull the plug on you early, or not early, but before I sign off. So thank you very much. God bless you, my friend.
Take care.
All right.
You bet.
All right. Folks, that was Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. There you have it. Certainly a lot to think about, a lot to think about, a lot to do before, well, between now and November. I want to say thank you to all people who have supported us, are supporting us by way of Patreon, PayPal, mail. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, we're trying to populate the forum. Check us out. HagmanReport.com. Check out the forum. HagmanStore.com. God bless.